Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Tuesday, August 7th. 2018, you are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I'm the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. What's up, Mid-Michigan? A lot to get to today. Michigan State football fans, you will enjoy this show, I promise you. Seeing as though yesterday really got my blood pumping, really got me ready for some football, because yesterday down at Spartan Stadium, the Michigan State football team held Media Day. Now, Media Day is always a cool event because it gives us media members an opportunity to talk to players and coaching personnel about how the team is preparing now that we have just weeks until the start of the college football season. Get a chance to really dive into each player's personality. Because let's also be real here. Even though I love Media Day, the only thing I don't like about Media Day is that you get a lot of cliches, and a lot of pretty predictable positive talk. You know, we want to take it one game at a time. We're focused on us. You know, sky's the limit. We believe that we can compete in the Big Ten. The chemistry is coming along well. Everybody's going out there every day and giving his best effort. You know, a lot of cliche sports talk that you can pretty much predict that is going to come out of a regular media day. But, you know, every once in a while, you get a chance to kind of divert from the regular football talk and those cliches. And you really get to dive into really the personalities of these players and who they are as people and not just players with helmets and pads on. So in just a moment, you're going to get a chance to hear from about five or six players as myself, along with production assistant Connor Mathis. We made the trip immediately after we got off the air on Monday's current sports, not that far down the road, seeing as though we are here on the campus of Michigan State University here at WKAR. We hopped in my car and made the short trip down the road to Spartan Stadium. And when we walked in, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, he was speaking. Mark D'Antonio spoke from 2 to 2:30 p.m., and then from 2:30 to 3:15, you had the defense speaking, select players of the Michigan State defense speaking, and then from 4:30 to 5:15, members of the Michigan State offense spoke. So you don't want to miss that chat. Also, there has been a breaking story coming from the world of college football concerning a few football players at the University of North Carolina who decided to do something that is clearly an NC2A violation just to make a quick buck, just to have a few dollars in their pockets. Now, we'll bring that story to you, and we'll be talking and getting reaction from a former University of North Carolina free safety by the name of Deontay Williams. He is a dear friend of the show. We have had him on to talk about his incredible book, My Breaking Point. And he also dubs himself as a change agent, always in the community doing great things. Deonte Williams will join us on the show to talk about this story. And I'll bring you the details of this story in just a moment. And then on the back end of the show to close things out, I got to get this off my chest. And this whole Pro Football Hall of Fame mandatory attendance discussion is just utterly ridiculous, in my opinion. All right, and I really think the Pro Football Hall of Fame is proving T.O. right, Terrell Owens right, when, you know, Terrell Owens, wide receiver great in the world of football, who got enshrined this year, a part of the 2018 class, decided to go out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and hold his own ceremony and not attend the formal ceremony out in Canton, Ohio. T.O. stressing that basically, those who are in charge of the hall, those who vote on the Hall of Fame, are vindictive. Well, with this move trying to make attendance mandatory, I think that the Pro Football Hall of Fame is playing right into the hands of T.O. We'll have that conversation and more. If you would like to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there. And you can also join us on Twitter. Tweet me directly at @AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at @WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your quick hit headliners. Really, the only breaking story to come out of Michigan State football media days yesterday concerns one of Michigan State's very important defensive pieces, that being Josiah Scott. Michigan State already down one returning starter early in preseason camp. Coach Mark D'Antonio, right before he said it, too, he said, hey, you know, if you're looking for a breaking story, make sure you get your pens and laptops out right now. Corner Josiah Scott will miss probably 2 months with an unspecified injury suffered during a non-contact drill. Junior Justin Lane said this concerning his cornerback partner, quote, man, it was real tough to see. I didn't want to see anyone get hurt, but especially Josiah. We're like right and left and left and right. That's my boy. I called him the other day to make sure his head was on straight. I told him to just get ready for when he comes back, and we'll pick up where we left off. I'm also being told per a few sources yesterday that this was a knee injury for Josiah and that he also had surgery last week and is recovering. So, wishing Scott a healthy return in about 2 months. Scott, true freshie, helped the Spartans finish 37th in the nation in pass defense at 202.3 yards per game last season. MSU allowed just 15 passing touchdowns and picked off 14 passes in 2017. Opponents connected on 56.5% of their passes, and of those 241 completions against the secondary, only 29 went for 20 or more yards. Excited to see what this Michigan State defense can do this upcoming year. All right, Jeremy Langford is getting another shot in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins announced they have signed the former Michigan State running back yesterday. This is the Michigan native's fourth team since he was drafted by the Chicago Bears in the fourth round of the 2015 NFL Draft, a standout in East Lansing during the 2013-14 campaigns. Langford is a graduate of John Glenn High School in Westland. He has two Big Ten championships, and of course, a Rose Bowl dub over Stanford in 2013 at Michigan State University. Wishing head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team, John Beilein, a healthy recovery after news broke that he underwent double bypass heart surgery and is expected to be back on the sidelines for the start of preseason practice next month. Now, the school announced the scheduled procedure this morning, a day after the 65-year-old coach underwent successful two-vessel coronary bypass graft surgery at the Frankel Cardiovascular Center at the University of Michigan. He is expected to be hospitalized for a few days. Now, Beilein has released a statement saying, quote, "I feel grateful and blessed that this surgery was performed at the University of Michigan. Kathleen and our family appreciate all of the world-class care that was provided for us. Dr. Kim Eagle, Dr. Francis Pagani, Dr. Stanley Chakchuti, and all of their staffs at Frankel Cardiovascular Center are so talented and performed like champions over the past week. I am going to work very hard in my rehabilitation to be stronger than ever by the time practice begins for this upcoming season." So, Coach Beilein, get well, my man. All right, and former Michigan tight end Tyrone Wheatley Jr. will play at Stony Brook this season. Prior to the start of fall camp last week, Wheatley told the Michigan staff that he planned to transfer after 3 years inside the program. Now, Stony Brook announced him as a member of its roster on Sunday. The Seawolves play out of the Colonial Athletic Conference in the NCAA's Football Championship Subdivision as a result of dropping from the Football Bowl Subdivision to the FCS. Wheatley will be eligible to play immediately. Wheatley's Michigan transfer comes after the second foot injury of his career, suffered early in spring practice back in March. Wheatley also missed his true freshman season in 2015 with, yep, a foot injury. All right, and more than 200 people, most dressed in Ohio State garb and some carrying signs, showed up for an on-campus rally yesterday to support embattled football coach Urban Meyer. The 54-year-old OSU coach was placed on paid administrative leave last Wednesday while university officials investigate whether he acted appropriately in handling a situation involving longtime former assistant coach Zach Smith, who was accused of domestic abuse back in 2015. Now, fans carried signs yesterday that included, quote, "We stand with Urban," and also, quote, "Urban strong," and one that said, "Me too. I support Urban Meyer." The rally was organized by 49-year-old Ohio State superfan Jeff Hams, salesman for sports nutritional supplement and a regular fan guest on The Fan 97.1 radio in Columbus, Ohio. So there is a lot of support out in Columbus right now for Urban Meyer. All right. The Jays hype is still real. Gotta love the Jordans, right? I still rock Jordans to this day. Still the most popular brand of shoe in the world. But the Jordan apparel and Jordan shoes have 13 University of North Carolina football players in some hot water. 13 NC football players, including quarterback Chaz Surratt, have been suspended for at least one game this season after they were caught selling school-issued special edition Nike Jordan shoes, which is a secondary NC2A violation. Now, UNC self-reported the violation in January. Among those suspended four games, of course, Surratt, starting defensive end Malik Carney, offensive lineman Brian Anderson, wide receiver Bo Corrales, defensive end Timone Fox, defensive end Tyrone Hopper, offensive lineman Kieran Johnson, linebacker Malik Robinson, and offensive lineman Jordan Tucker. Keep it locked to WKAR's Current Sports as we will invite to the show former free safety for the University of North Carolina football team, Mr. Deontay Williams, as he has some pretty strong thoughts on this story. All right, the Detroit Tigers' L string continues as the Tigers got all around outplayed in a 6-2 loss to the LA Angels at Angel Stadium. Now, this loss comes with a horrible offensive performance from the Tigers. They recorded only 3 total hits, with Nicholas Castellanos' big fly being one of them. The Angels teed off on starting pitcher Matthew Boyd with the loss, is now 6-10 for him. Hitting 2 homers off of Boyd that went the distance, the Tigers are now 47-66 on the season and still remain in third place of the absolutely horrid American League Central. And more Tigers news. For the 2nd consecutive season, the Detroit Tigers have made an August deal after the non-waiver trade deadline, a day after being swept by the Oakland A's. The Tigers dealt starting pitcher Mike Fiers to the A's for 2 players to be named later or cash considerations. Fiers, who is 33 years old, he is 7-6 with a 3.48 ERA in 21 starts this season. He signed a 1-year $6 million deal. In the offseason, after winning a World Series with the Houston Astros, he is arbitration eligible in 2019. And last but certainly not least, one of the greatest female athletes we have ever seen, Clarissa Shields, Flint Town's favorite daughter. And she's just 6 fights into her professional boxing career, yet she's already going to be known as a Hall of Famer. The USA Boxing Alumni Association announced Shields will be part of the 2nd class that will be inducted into its Hall of Fame on December 7th in Salt Lake City, Utah. Shields will be inducted along with my man. Y'all must have forgot. I love that track from Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, Roy is going into the Hall along with Andre Ward. Emmanuel Stewart, the late, great Emmanuel Stewart. I've got a cool story that if we have time later on this hour, I'll tell you how I got a chance to meet Emmanuel Stewart right before I came to Michigan State as a student. And also Tom Cleary is a part of that class as well. They were selected from a group of 17 nominees. The new inductees will join an inaugural class that included Muhammad Ali and Evander Holyfield. Shields, 6-0. 2 knockouts on her professional record right now. Currently holds 4 women's world championship belts in 2 weight classes. She is the IBF and WBC super middleweight champion, as well as the IBF and WBA middleweight champion. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
I think last year's football team was very similar to 13's. Now we're going to find out if this one is similar to 14, really. Because 13, if you remember back 5 years ago, it grew. You know, who was the quarterback coming out of the first 3 games? You know, who was going to be our tailback? You know, who exactly, you know, Jeremy Langford was back. I think we had 12 returning carries maybe our entire running back situation. So our wide receiver situation was unsettled, and we just got better progressively. And I thought that's what we did last year. We got better progressively, and you know, all of a sudden now we have a lot of experience back. And 14 took off, and we had a very good football team in 14. You know, we struggled. You know, lost, I guess, 2 games. Is that right? So, you know, we were ahead in both those football games. So we're going to see if we can rise to that occasion and compete. But this is a week-by-week type situation here. I challenge our players to stay in the moment, stay focused on what we have to do. First game up is Utah State. That's where our main focus is, and then we'll take it from there. So.
All right. You know the voice, Spartan fans, the voice of Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team. Just a small sliver of what he had to say during his 30-minute press conference yesterday to kick off Michigan State football media day. Mark D'Antonio spoke from 2 to 2:30 p.m., and that was followed by the media availability of select players on both the offensive side and defensive side of the green and white ball. So, again, media days, they become kind of old hat after a while. You know, you hear kind of the same thing every single year. Everybody's positive. Everybody's happy. Everybody's ready to start the new college football year. Rarely do you hear any breaking news come out of media day. However, there was one story that, again, if you're just now joining us here on WKER's Current Sports and you missed the beginning of our Quick Hit Headliners, Josiah Scott will be out 2 months for Michigan State. That was really the only breaking story that came out of the Michigan State media day camp. Josiah Scott, really talented corner for the MSU defense. He'll be out 2 months. It was a non-contact foot injury. And talking with a few of my sources yesterday, this injury did occur to his knee. I'm not sure if it was left or right, not to get too detailed, but it was a knee injury. He has had surgery. He is recovering. So until then, though, I mean, this is a team that returned a lot of firepower from last year's squad that flipped the script after going 3-9 the season prior to getting to a bowl game, beating Washington State in early January. What a season. It was one of the best, if not the best, coaching job that we've seen Mark D'Antonio have here at Michigan State University. And again, they're not losing a lot. And especially when you look at the offensive side of things, I mean, Brian Lewerke, I think he's just only going to continue to get better. LJ Scott, he actually announced his, you know, return to Michigan State for this season immediately after the bowl win over Washington State, which was quite surprising. The offense is stout, even with the absence of Josiah Scott. This is a defense that still is very, very talented. So, you know, media day is really cool because, you know, really the only person who's at the podium that afternoon is Mark D'Antonio. That's it. Coach D hits the podium. And then after that, they kind of divide the room up. And, you know, you have one side with all of the media chairs and you have the platforms for the cameras. And then on the other side, you have all of these different tables and chairs in which Michigan State players in their crispy brand new jerseys sitting there. And you just go right up to them and you get to ask them whatever you want. It's fantastic. It's very informal. It's very loose. And you really get a chance to just kick it with these guys. So what I want to do right now is roll in a few interviews from my time at Michigan State Football Media Days yesterday. And before I proceed again, I want to give a big shout out to Connor Mathis, who helped me with these interviews yesterday. And I want to start with a few guys on the defensive side of the football. In fact, most of the names you're going to hear right now come from the defensive side of the football. And I want to start with Joe Bocci, who is a junior linebacker from Brook Park, Ohio, for the Michigan State defense. I think that Joe Bocci is going to be named, and again, what do I know, right? But if I had to guess, Joe Bocci is going to be named as one of the captains in the coming weeks before the season kicks off here for Michigan State on August 31st as they host Utah State, a Friday night game, if you have not already marked that on your calendars. But Joe Bocci just comes off as a leader. He's rocking, you know, a real shortcut, almost bald now, rocking the beard. And if you listen to Joe Bocci talk, he just comes off as a guy who just kind of commands a room, who's in charge, who's confident. And as you hear Bocci talk, I want to start with Bocci discussing, yeah, and I hate to bring this up, but, you know, a lot of the players were asked about this because really Ohio State is dominating the headlines right now. Bocci, though, was asked about the Ohio State loss last season on November 11th at 48-3 drubbing at the Shoe in Ohio. I was there. It was bad. Bocce first addresses that loss and then goes on to comment on the strengths of this team, including you'll get Bocce's thoughts on the offense as well. Here he is.
You know, we went out there, they jumped on us fast, and they got going with it. Our confidence went down. They brought it that day. We didn't. You know, when that goes, you know, when that goes together against a team like Ohio State, it's never going to work out. This morning we watched the 2015 game a little bit, and we understand what it takes. But, you know, that's a team that we got on our schedule that we got circled because of, you know, reasons from last year, and we understand that we got to play to that level to win. You know, we got game reps now. We got the experience. We got to understand, you know, I just talked to someone, you know, the Notre Dame game, you look at it, and that, most of us have never played in a big game like that. Early in the game, we had turnovers. We didn't get turnovers. Northwestern, we didn't finish well. Ohio State, we didn't bring it for some reason. You know, those things right there can't happen in the Big Ten. You do that in the Big Ten, you're going to lose games. So we understand that we got to bring it every day. And we as, you know, individuals are trying to, you know, up our game from good to great. We know what we got to do every day to get better. Our O-line's big. They're physical. You got L.J. Scott in the backfield, big, physical running back. Brian, you know, he's a scary guy to go against. He's a dual threat guy. He can run the ball, can throw the ball with anybody in the conference. You know, that's the guy that I want to be behind. That's my quarterback. And, you know, we have the most respect and, you know, in his game. And we understand that we don't go close to him in practice. But, you know, our receivers are dynamic, as you've seen last year. They're only getting better. But, you know, they got their game reps into their game experience. So it's going to be fun for them this year.
We don't come close to them in practice. That's a good idea, Joe. You don't want your starting quarterback to undergo any kind of injury before at least game one, right? but Joe Bocce, again, Joe Bocce is a junior linebacker for the Michigan State defense. I really believe we have Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio behind the glass. Jack, I really believe that Joe Bocce is going to be, again, we're guessing at this point. Nothing came out yesterday, and it never does during media day when it comes to who the captains are going to be for the upcoming Michigan State football season. But I would be hard-pressed to find that Joe Bocce would not be one of those captains come the start of the season. I really think he's poised to have a great year.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he wasn't, to be honest with you. I mean, at the very least, he's the leader of this defense, I would say, and quite possibly this whole team. And I mean, we kind of saw that last season at the beginning, too, after the 3-9 disaster in 2016. You know, Bocce was one of those guys that was speaking to the media as a true sophomore, talking about rallying the troops and kind of getting the Spartan dog mentality back. So, you know what, Al, I'd be shocked if he wasn't a captain.
Definitely. I mean, he's a two-year letter winner. And returns as the Spartans' starting middle linebacker in 2018. He was a member of the team's Eagles Leadership Council last year. He had 112 career tackles, including almost 11 tackles for loss, almost 4 sacks, 3 INTs, 2 pass breakups. I love watching Joe Bocce fly around the field. All right, next, I want to talk about another leader for this team and another player. If I had to again pick another captain for this squad, I think that Kari Willis is a pretty solid name. Kari Willis, senior safety from Mid Michigan, from Jackson, Michigan, who is just a joy to talk to. The snippet you're going to hear when it comes to my interview with Kari Willis probably was my favorite interview of the day, just because Kari is very charismatic. He doesn't beat around the bush. He laughs, he jokes a bit with you, and he's very honest. And again, he has that leadership swag as well. When you hear Kari Willis speaks, I mean, he just really commands a room. He was also the player chosen at Big Ten Media Days out in Chicago, Illinois, to deliver the speech and to address the public on behalf of the players of the Big Ten in college football. And we played a bit of that speech here on WKAR's Current Sports after he delivered it. And the message, the overall message was encouraging players and athletes who have any kind of success to give back to your communities. Now, I first asked Kari to really address his leadership and maybe his plans of vying for some kind of captainship for the 2018 Spartans.
I value that role. It's something that I dreamed of. Honestly, didn't even know it was possible, you know. But I'm here, and it's. I feel like I'm in a position of leadership. based on the things that I've learned from previous leaders, from my coaches, family or whatever, all have contributed to it, and I look forward to taking advantage with it. I'm not above anybody here, and no one is, so I feel that helps us all as leaders, is that we all know that, but we got to step out in front and go to war for one another.
I would assume you're vying for one of those captain roles, right, for this team?
I don't know. It depends on who you ask. Whatever happens, happens. But I think we got a lot of guys that possibly could be, so we'll see how it shapes out. And if I am, great. If not, then I understand. I won't be mad. It won't stop doing me.
Real quick, I want to go back to your speech you gave in Chicago and the message about giving back. Just kind of, can you take me through, you know, when you got word that you were going to be the speaker at that luncheon, how you began to attack what you wanted to say while at that podium?
Yeah, well, I wanted to be me. I didn't want to go, and I looked at some of the other speeches, but I didn't want to watch too many because I didn't want to start sounding like them. So I wanted to be me, and giving back, that's just who I am. And I understand that, you know, coming from where I come from, a lot of other student-athletes come from similar areas. So I wanted to be able to speak, I don't know, on behalf of my story, but on behalf of a lot of other student-athletes' story. And so I jot some ideas down. I talked to Coach D, some university spokesman, and there's some things that I had. Initially, I didn't think of go, and other things that I didn't have, and they helped me to implement. And then I just structured it from there and practiced it.
Who are some of your inspirations, athletes giving back? I know LeBron James last week with his school.
That's the number one for me. LeBron, yeah. You ask anybody close to me, yeah, I'm all LeBron. So he inspired me a lot.
When did that LeBron fandom start for you?
It started for me, I think I was a Detroit Pistons fan at first. And then I knew who he was, but then when he scored like 31 of the last 33 or something like that in 2007, I was like, man, I got to roll with this guy.
Your reaction to the news at the school that he put together and built?
Phenomenal. It's a phenomenal. I mean, I like the fact that can't nobody shut him up. And as athletes, you know, as coming from the inner city, I feel like he's kind of changing the narrative for us. And I like it.
Carly, I'm curious, with everything that's happening with Ohio State, you know, and the whole domestic violence situation when it comes to Zach Smith, have you guys talked about domestic abuse and violence as it relates to what's happening out in Columbus at all? Have you guys had any discussion about what's happening there?
No, I don't think I'm really qualified to speak on Columbus because I don't know the in-depth details. But I know we had our own issues here in the past, and Coach D continually, you know, he gets on us about what we can do, or he, you know, he reads, you know, all the Title IX stuff and all the things, all the rules and regulations and stuff like that. That's something that we constantly go over as a team. And it just so happens that, I mean, like every year it seems like it's a new school, but I'm not really qualified to speak on Ohio State situation.
Have you guys thought about it all? The implications that story could have on the Big Ten East race?
Nah, not really. I think we're more focused on ourselves right now. I mean, we see it in the news, we see it on TV, and then we may have like barbershop talk about it or whatever, as anyone else does, but we don't know the details, and we just kind of try to focus on ourselves right now.
That's how a leader answers that question. I'm sure they knew it was coming. You know, OSU, that's the big story. That, again, that has a direct effect of what could happen as it, you know, as it pertains to the Big Ten East race, right? I mean, we'll see how this whole Ohio State story plays out. But I threw the question to Kari Willis, and he handled it really nicely, especially because Michigan State and everything that happened here with the three football players being involved in that situation. You know what I'm talking about, right? With Corley King and Vance. And, of course, last year with the ESPN stories. So I'm sure it's talked about a lot in that Michigan State locker room. All right. Andrew Dow, who's also a really great interview as well. And I think that Andrew Dow is going to be another stud on this Michigan State defense. He is a senior linebacker from North Ridgeville, Ohio. And, you know, Andrew is a pleasure to talk with. And he's also very honest and very respectful while anytime you chat with Andrew. And he also kind of put in perspective just how important this time is for the team. The practices, the preseason practices that lead up to that August 31st night game against Utah State. How important that is to developing chemistry for the team and also really establishing who those leaders are for the squad.
Yeah, it's huge. The camp. Everybody's together. Everybody's building together. We're a really close team. And that one guy asked me a question. The bond between brothers, the bond between your team, that can be the it factor that comes. That's the difference maker in a late changing game or stuff like that.
I'm curious as it pertains to the Ohio State story and the whole conversation of domestic violence. Have you guys thought about it all, the implications, the outcome of that story could have on the Big Ten East race?
Not necessarily. I know I don't even have social media right now. I know a bunch of guys get rid of social media on their phones and stuff like that. So really just honed in on getting better each day over here.
Is that a pretty popular thing? The guys just delete their accounts right now?
Yeah, just delete your social media account. We're all locked in right now. Last year I got rid of my phone for camp. But it was extra, but yeah, stuff like that.
Is there somebody that kind of starts that and then everybody will follow?
No, it's just kind of up to your individual opinion. I know me and David have done it. I know a few other guys on the team have done it. Just kind of get rid of your social media account. Really focus on bettering yourself and bettering your team during this entire month of August.
So if you're not on social media, what are you doing then? That's what we do in 2018, right?
Exactly. So because you don't have your social media, you're not scrolling through Twitter, we're actually going back to the film room and get, 20 minutes extra film. So that's just kind of how it adds to it.
What do you think the leaders are on this team right now, Andrew?
We have tons of leaders on our team. It's a huge thing for us. As far as all the older DBs, Joe, me, Ray, we have a Coach D calls them bell cows. Who's the bell cow in each room? We have multiple bell cows in each room.
Gotcha. Are you trying to be one of those bell cows?
Yes, sir. Yep. Look forward to being a senior leader this year and taking our team to great heights.
How would you put into words what your maturation process has been like year after year here at Michigan State?
Yeah, it's huge. That first spring, is when you gain the most knowledge, and then you build on from there. Coach D has this phrase, you got to get 3% better every day. You can learn a new coverage or learn a new tweak. So you never fully understand the game, so there's always something that you can learn.
Social media cleanse. I like that. Kind of like LeBron James, when the playoffs hit, he goes, zero dark 30 on social media and just completely, does not get on social media at all until things are said and done in the postseason race. Jack, Alec, could you guys ever do that, especially in the media world we live in? This is what we do for a living. I don't know if I could ever go on a social media cleanse just because my job doesn't allow me to. Could you do that?
You know what? I've thought about it a couple times because I don't like the way a lot of people my age act on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But Twitter's how I get all my news, and it's kind of what I use to dissect a lot of breaking stories when they come across like my way. So I don't think I could, to be honest with you.
You couldn't do it. It's so sad in 2018. Alec, could you ever just say, I'm done with social media for an entire month?
I mean, I've thought of it, but social media is like the quickest way I get my news, compared to like watching the TV. Like, we don't even have cable at my apartment just because we don't feel like paying for the cable fees,
So I'm making a switch right now, actually. Just internet in my house now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I hear you. It's tough because, again, we are in the news business. So for us, not so much, but I'm sure it's very healthy. Next, Byron Bulla. The Bulla name has roots that go way back in Michigan State lore. I mean, Byron Bulla, his uncle's Chuck Bulla. He was a Michigan State linebacker in the 80s, 1988 to 91. Bobby Morris, his other uncle, was a Michigan State running back in 1983 to 86. We all know about his brother, Max Bulla, who was a four-year letter winner from 2010 to 2013. His other brother, Riley, a four-year letter winner and linebacker, and was a team captain in 2016. So Byron Bulla, the Bulla name holds a lot of weight. Byron is a senior linebacker, and I started off our conversation with Byron asking whether or not he is also on a social media cleanse.
I won't say I'm a part of it totally, but I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure whose idea it was, but any way you can focus more on one thing, I think you'll have better results. Coach D always talks about a player-led team is better than a coach-led team. So, obviously we have a ton of leaders on this team, a ton of guys coming back. And every day we just try to improve that chemistry and togetherness as a team.
Who are some of those guys you can kind of peg out as leaders?
I think you could say anyone in this room right now. But offense, defense, I can just keep going on and on. But, yeah, we have a ton of guys, and that's a strength of ours.
Byron, when it comes to kind of building off the success of last season,
What are those conversations like in the locker room to take this squad from good to elite and possibly competing for a college football playoff spot?
Yeah, I think it has to do with not being complacent. We definitely didn't have that mindset last year. We came out, won 10 games, but now it's all about how much higher can we elevate our play. And like I said, don't be complacent, always strive for more. And that's what we plan on doing.
Can you kind of elaborate on the model of Heave? How did Heave come about?
Yeah, that was actually during one of our summer workouts this year. We're playing tug of war, and one team, I mean, it was a stalemate pretty much, and someone just started yelling, Heave, Heave, and then that team eventually ended up winning, so Coach D caught on to that and liked it, and now it's our team motto.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. It's all about togetherness.
What are your personal goals, you individually as a player? What are your personal goals coming up to this upcoming year?
Continue to develop as a leader, first and foremost, and then also just be a playmaker. I plan on playing a lot this year, definitely have my best year as a senior. But any way that I can help the team out is where I'll be and what I want to do.
Byron, how much do you think about the legacy of the Bulla name when it comes to Michigan State football?
I try not to think about that as much. I mean, I just try to go out there and give it my best, and I think my best is a pretty high level. So, but it is a tradition carrying on the Bulla name since I'll be the last one for a while. So that's exciting, but yeah, I just try to do the best at Byron Bulla.
Does it become a distraction at all at some point? If you overthink it, like, all right, I got to live up to the name. You know, there's a lot of Bullies that have worn this jersey.
I got a lot more things on my mind other than that, so I'd say no, it's not a distraction.
Yeah, for some reason, I had a flashback to the movie Creed, right? And when Adonis Creed has to live up to his father's name once his identity is found halfway through the movie. So I don't know why. I just had a flashback to Creed when discussing Byron Bulla living up to the Bulla legacy that is Michigan State. And final snippet before we bring on our guest for today's current sports, Justin Lane from Cleveland, Ohio, junior corner, who is really a talented player, two-year letter winner. He's played in 22 career games, including 14 starts at cornerback. Of course, when discussing cornerback, again, the breaking news coming out of Michigan State Football Media Day is that Josiah Scott, who had one incredible year as a Michigan State corner last season, he'll be missing 2 months. What, that's like roughly 5 games for Michigan State. And again, according to my sources, it was a knee injury, a non-contact knee injury, and he is currently recovering. Here is Justin Lane on the loss of Josiah Scott and more.
Well, it kind of just happened, but at the same time, it's football. Everybody's on scholarship for a reason, so, I mean, somebody got to step up. At the same time, we at Michigan State. It got to be somebody. Somebody got to step up. So we definitely have enough depth and a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of people that come to practice every day to work. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Justin, you mentioned guys stepping up and talking and being more vocal that really don't talk. Who are the leaders for this team right now?
I would say our whole back four. I've seen Josiah talk. I've never seen him talk. Even me, I just start calling out different stuff that I usually don't call out. Dave usually never talked, but now he talks. Usually the only person that was vocal in the DB was probably Corey. But yeah, but now everyone's talking. We all talking to each other. Like, they say a loud defense is a good defense, so, I mean, you're going to see.
Where does that confidence come from? How does that develop over time?
I think it just comes from just growth or just getting older, maybe experience. I guess it's just our time, man. I'm a junior now. Time flew, so it's time to start playing.
Have you guys discussed it all amongst yourselves, how whatever outcome happens in Ohio State, depending on what the outcome is, what kind of ripple effect that could have as it pertains to you and other teams in the Big Ten East race?
We kind of don't try to get into all that, man. Our goal is just try to get better ourselves, and we're trying to win every game. We're not trying to think about Ohio State, I mean. So, yeah. I feel like we're still trying to, even though we're the same team, but I feel like we're still trying to chase and be better than the old no-fly zone. I mean, we don't want to just do what they do. We want to be better than them. So that's what we're on right now.
How do you get to that point?
Every day we just come to work. I mean, in the playbook, just talking, just little things that everybody don't really notice. Josh Butler always been a baller. And also Shakir Brown. He's a young guy, but I feel like he got that Spartan dog in him. He's gonna be a player.
Ah, Justin Lane. He is really talented, folks. 58 career tackles, 2 for losses, 9 career pass breakups, snared 2 career INTs. Actually began his career as a wide receiver here at Michigan State before transitioning to corner midway through his first season back in 2016. All right, thoughts on Michigan State football media days? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will take it on home with our guest for today's current sports, Deonte Williams, former University of North Carolina free safety, now author and change agent. Deonte has some thoughts on what is taking place out at UNC right now, seeing as though 13 football players have been suspended for selling Michael Jordan sneakers. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's get right to our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Deonte Williams. He's a dear friend of the show, former University of North Carolina free safety, now author of My Breaking Point, also dubbed as a, quote, change agent. The reason I want to have Deonte on the show is because if you heard during our Current Sports quick hit headliners, one of the big stories coming out of college football concerns 13 North Carolina football players, including quarterback Chaz Surratt, all suspended for at least one game this season after they were caught selling school-issued special edition Nike Jordan shoes, which is a secondary NCAA violation. Deonte Williams now joins me via phone. Deonte, welcome to the show. And I just want to start by getting your initial reaction to this news, especially as a former player of this program.
Yeah, what's going on, Al? And thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to do business with you, my friend.
Definitely, man.
Man, I'll be honest. As soon as I saw this, my mind just kind of went back to 2010. And being one of the players that had his name and picture, you know, plastered on ESPN and going through the little timeline tickers at the bottom, being suspended for multiple games, you know, my heart just instantly went out to the players, our program, and especially the families back home. That was one of the toughest parts about me actually going through it, was getting a phone call from my mom or my uncle or my brother saying, man, what the heck is going on? You know, that was tough. So I know they're probably going through that right now. And it's a tough ordeal to have to deal with as a young man.
Right. And I know for those that don't know, Deonte, can you kind of take us through what you went through back when you were a player? I know that you were suspended about, you know, I think 4 games for receiving extra benefits following North Carolina's victory over Clemson. Can you explain what happened to you back then?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, the whole thing is the NCAA system isn't perfect, and I think they get a bad rap for some of the shortfalls that they do have within it. But, you know, I've gotten the opportunity to play football because of its existence. So, long story short, the UNC football team in 2010, we went under this massive investigation from the NCAA. To the point where our first game of the season, we had almost 26 players suspended for the first game. As you said, I was suspended for 4 games, and we had multiple, you know, NFL players that were suspended for the entire season. And so we took a severe hit in 2010 where we had, you know, possibly two deep guys full of talent, you know, that were suspended and couldn't play one being as big as Rob Quinn, who was later on to be the co-defensive MVP of the league. So we had some significant suspensions during that time, man, and it's kind of the same type of situation, a lot different, not as massive of a wave that we caused, but still a wave and kind of a black mark against the players there right now.
Definitely. Now, Deontay, when you hear this story that again, just broke, that 13 North Carolina football players will be suspended for selling these Nike Jordan shoes, which, of course, is a NCAA violation. Which side do you fall on this? On the side of the NCAA or on the side of the players? Because we've had the discussion multiple times here on Current Sports about how I believe these players need to have some compensation, and how some of these guys who come from these backgrounds that aren't great backgrounds, and they come to this university where this university is making so much money off of what they do each and every Saturday and each and every basketball game that takes place out there. Where do you fall in this whole conversation when it comes to compensation for college athletes?
I'm a objective type of person, you know, and I think you just have to look at objective things from the standpoints of, if you're making money, then it's a business. Is it a nonprofit? Is it a for-profit? And, you know, where there's people making profits, then you have a baseline of, like, standards or, you know, general practices, best practices, and such like that. I just think in any other scenario where a massive amount of money is being made, the people that are responsible for that money, the engine per se, the spectacle, the entertainment, the work, the labor, they are deserving of a significant cut of that. And there have been labor laws and such to protect those rights of people. I mean, if we look at even in third world countries, we look at labor laws, you know, how the U.S., we don't like outsourcing because this place has labor laws and such. But in college football, you know, it's a different story. And I don't know. I think the O'Bannon case, I'm still waiting for that to drop. I know they had the case where we could do the game rights and stuff, our likeness. Mm-hmm. I think the TV case will actually change the landscape of the NCAA, and it's something that keeps getting pushed back and back and back. But I think that will change the landscape to where there needs to be representation on different players and such like that. I think it sucks. I think it sucks for the players. I think they weren't doing anything malicious. Their character doesn't need to be, you know, looked down upon. They don't need to be demonized. They don't need to be looked upon as criminals. People don't need to throw rocks at these guys. They're 20 years old, 19 years old, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to pay their rent because they made some bad decisions, you know, when they got their Pell Grant or they got their meal check that Friday. You know, they wanted to impress somebody or something. So now they need $200, $300, you know, to make it through this month. So, you know, I don't think it's, you know, these kids are selling all of this stuff so that they can go party and, you know, show the world that they're King Kong, which is like the misconception of why college players are actually trying to, you know, do things to get extra dollars and such. People say, well, don't you have enough? You got a free scholarship, man. You know, isn't that enough? You know, but they don't actually know how, you know, people have to live, you know, and, you know, sometimes down to $20 for a week. You know what I mean? You got to figure out how you're going to eat with that $20 in a week, man. So that's how it is sometimes, you know, and I think the general public doesn't understand that side of it.
Very well said. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, first off, where have you been? We are talking with Deontay Williams, former University of North Carolina free safety, now author of My Breaking Point and also Change Agent. Deontay, final question for you as we have just 4 minutes left here. Does it make this whole thing more frustrating, feeling like you didn't do anything wrong at the end of the day?
Certainly. You know, that's one of the most frustrating things because And this is a sensitive, a more sensitive topic for me, man, because, you know, I had to go through this same scenario where I went on spring break. I trusted situation where I asked this guy to put his credit card up. We were young people. We had cash, but we had no credit cards. And buy the hotels, and we reimburse him on the site. And that is worth 4-game suspension. And it's, you're not thinking from the standpoint of, I'm doing something illegal here. You're thinking, well, everyone else is on spring break, man. How are they getting hotels? How are they getting, you know, flights? How are they doing this? How are they doing that? All I have is a bank card, a debit card, and, you know, an extra amount has to be tabbed on to me to rent a car or to put it down as incidentals, you know. And you don't have those options when you're broke, you know, and you're a college student, but you still want to live a little bit and enjoy spring break. That was kind of my story, man. And these kids, I don't know. No one's told me exactly why they put their shoes up there to sell it. But, you know, half of my Pell Grant, you know, I might be getting in trouble for saying this. Half of my Pell Grant went straight home so that my mother and my grandmother was all right. And I just tried to figure out how I was going to support myself with the rest of it, you know. But that was just my situation. You know, I don't know their situation, but if I had a pair of Jordans and I needed $200 and they were mine, I earned them, they were given to me, then I don't see why I can't sell it. Last thing I kind of say about that, man, is, you know, I Googled, you know, number 27 jersey, University of North Carolina, and I saw 3 or 4 of these on eBay going for, I think at the time, was like $300-something. And it had been 8 years since I had played for the University of North Carolina. And I'm not saying I was the best 27 to ever wear that jersey, but as of recently, if someone probably thought of it, they would think of me in that jersey, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I've had people send me stuff to sign that was, you know, bought off of eBay and all of these type things. You know, so you have a value if you're playing for the University of North Carolina or not, if you did something while you were there, man. And I just think that these guys should somehow be able to get that.
Very well said. Very well said. Yeah. Deontay, very insightful, my man. And I tell you what, later on this week, I want to get you back on the show. I want to have an interesting, more in-depth debate about this. But very insightful, my man. We'll have you back later this week. Deontay Williams, the great Deontay Williams. Appreciate your time. And, hey, folks, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin reminding you to always be easy, people.